While Brother Kenneth's coming around, there's one more. Let's remember Brother Jonathan. He's been having some ankle problems. He was at the orthopedic today, and they've started a process that we hope is going to be a big help to him in the days ahead. So I know he'd appreciate your prayers as well. Brother Kenneth.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here with you this this evening. I'm used to being in the morning, right? In Ephesians chapter 6, hopefully this is very familiar about the where Paul goes about talking about the armor of God. I don't really want to dwell too much about the armor tonight, but I do want to notice a certain word that he uses quite frequently in this, and he says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The Lord will be our helper this evening for a little bit. I just want to try to talk about that word stand. It's a word we use a lot, we use pretty frequently, and it has different meanings, especially depending on what you're talking about. But that word stand. Stand. Have a little acronym for stand. S, study. T, trust. A is for add. N for no, as in no, we're not doing that. And D, diligence. So going through that for study, if we're going to stand, what are we going to stand on? That's important, isn't it? It's very important if we're going to stand on something for it to be something wholesome, something that's going to be good solid ground, something that's worth standing for. Well, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, the thing about the armor of God is if we're not studying our Bible, if we're not reading God's Word, if we're not looking for His guidance, this armor is not going to be any effect to us because we're not reading His Word. We're not learning about the armor. I bet you there's some folks that probably don't even know that we have armor that's available to us. Think about studying God's Word. We need to read His Word and find what we have available to us. Real quick in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, Paul's writing to Timothy, that young minister, and I guess Timothy's always going to be a young minister. But anyways, Paul's writing to Timothy in verse 1, chapter 3, says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times. Well, I'm sure if we look through history, we can all see some perilous times that people have gone through. But Paul writes, says this, know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Last days. Are we in the last days? Yes, we're in the last days. Last thing on God's timetable for this world is for Him to come back. So we're in the last days. But he says, know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I mean, we could just keep reading on this, all this. We can just see it. It's just human nature just gone wild. That's just what we are by nature. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that He has shown us there's a better way? Aren't you thankful that He has touched and tendered our heart, that we're able to know Him, and we're able to call upon His name? We can turn away. His words will give us light. So if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, against all the perilous times that are coming, first and foremost, we need to study. We need to study His Word. And if we go down to verse 12, still in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul writes, says, "Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution." Well, if we're going to suffer some persecution, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. That's like Paul was telling the Ephesians, brethren, to arm ourselves with the armor of God. We need that. We need to be prepared for what's coming. But he says, "Yea, and all that will godly shall in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou." Paul's writing to Timothy and encouraging him. We know this is going to be bad. We know perilous times are coming. And I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We just see it. This nature, this all this stuff that's going on in this dark world. This world is not a friend to God. But he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. This thou hast learned? Well, if we learn it, that means we need to be studying it, right? We need to be reading about it. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child. Now, Paul knows Timothy. And I know this is talking about Timothy. But hopefully I'm preaching to some people that was brought up on some of this. Or at least have something they can draw back from. Have some memories of good times, of good wholesome teaching. And if not, we have the Bible that's filled with it, right? So we can read that. But then he's talking to Timothy and said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Make thee wise. Wise in our own eyes? No, wise in His Word. And then, probably one of my most favorite scriptures is verse 16. Paul writes, says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." It's the inspired Word of God. You know, if it's a writing of men, you just have to see, well, maybe he's a good person. I don't know. Maybe she's a good author. I have no idea. But it's a writing of men, right? We're fallible. We can make errors. Spelling errors, especially if I'm writing it. But this, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is the inspired Word of God as God breathed out His Word. Inspired men to write these words. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of times you would say, "Hear, O Lord, the Lord." And he says, "According to thus saith the Lord." This is according to thus saith the Lord.
Right.
It's His Word. So the first and foremost, we're going to study. What do we need to be studying? We need to study His Word. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, I'm not talking about you studying the Word of God, your bank account's going to fill up. That's not what kind of profit I'm talking about. But studying His Word is very profitable for our life. It's filled. It's enriching. It can help us in times of need. So if we're going to stand, we need to start studying His Word. If we go over to the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I love that phrase I heard one time about where that starts. It starts with study. And what does it end with? Truth. So first and foremost, brothers and sisters, we need to be studying truth. Studying truth in the Holy Scriptures, His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Brethren, we can rest assured that it's truth. It's the true Word of God. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, that sounds like stuff that I need. I need correcting sometimes. I need reproving sometimes. I need instructions in righteousness. I have no righteousness that I can claim. I need instruction in His righteousness. And how are we going to find out about it if we're not studying His Word? If we're not reading His Word? If we're not looking for instruction? Well, sometimes the Word of God can be a reproof to us. Sometimes it can be a correction for us. And it's always instructing. But if we're not studying, if we're not putting forth the effort to read, to mine it, to go in deep into it, read often, it's not giving us any benefit. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That lamp illuminates where we are, and that light showing me where I need to go. So first and foremost, we need to study. Studying His Word. Next thing is trust. Well, hold on. Y'all let me go off too fast. I want to get verse 17. Go back to 2 Timothy 3:17. I'm going to read 16 again. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So if we're studying His Word, it is a thorough furnisher. We have all we need.
Amen.
All do we need to equip ourselves to go out in this day and age, and especially being able to stand. We can stand firm on His Word. We can stand firm on His truth. So having done all to stand, like I said over in Ephesians chapter 6, I should have put a bookmark there. He says, verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 6, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We have real help in His Word. We have real help in God. Which brings me to my next one. T, trust. Do you trust the Lord? Is your trust in Him? Isaiah 26. Helps if you get the right book. Isaiah 26. There we go. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because why? He trusteth in thee." That perfect peace. Do we trust in Him? In verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength. If we're going to want to stand against the wiles of the devil, if we're going to stand against the evils that's coming our way, we need to have some strength. And the only place to find true strength is in the Lord. He says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." We can trust in Him to provide that strength that we need, and especially knowing that we have that peace. That will keep Him in perfect peace. It doesn't say that will keep Him in partial peace. It doesn't say that it might be able to put you in peace. No, it says thou will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Brother and sister, if we're putting our trust in Him, studying His Word is a lot easier, because we trust that what He says is true. Because it is true, right? Whether I trust it or not. But brethren, if we have that trust in Him, if we're putting our faith in Him, then those words of His are more sweeter, and they hold more value to us, if you will. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, or Proverbs 3. Chapter 3. That Proverbs chapter 3 is, you know, it's hard to jump in the middle sometimes. And he said, the first verse says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Again, about that studying. If we're not studying his commandments, we don't know them. We're not going to be able to keep them really well. What I'm after for is verse 5. Verse 5 of chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's the thing about studying his word. You find these nuggets in here where it's talking about the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Because if I'm leaning on my own understanding, I'm going to falter. I'm going to get off the path. I'm going to go in the wrong way. But he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He can show me where to go. Especially if we're trusting in him, having that faith in God that he knows what he's doing. Sometimes that's hard for us to give that control over, right? A lot of times we like to do our own thing. We want to steer the boat. Let go. Trust in his way. And studying his word more and more, meditating upon it day and night, holding it dear, writing it upon the tables of our heart, studying his word, treasuring it up, will help us to learn to trust him better. And Psalm 115. A couple of verses I wanted to get. Psalm 115. Starts off in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Don't we hear that a lot? Scoffers will say it. And you know, scoffers have always been around. They've always been around. Even when Noah was building the ark, scoffers were out there talking about that. It says, where is now their God? But our God, listen to this, but our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Well, what good is that? They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Those idols that these people are worshiping and trusting or whatever, those idols can't do a thing. I already said they have ears, but they hear not. My God hears. My God sees. Not only that, but my God feels. He's touched. When we're hurting, He can feel. He knows what it's like. That's the most precious. What's one of the precious things about Jesus when He was here in His earthly ministry? He was verily God and verily man. And He had compassion on those. Those idols don't feel a thing. Those idols can't see a thing. That's why the psalmist would say, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord. That's only where only true help comes from. We need to be careful about what we put our trust in. We need to be careful about what we put our faith in. Because the only true help in this life is in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So we've got stand, study, trust. A, add. Simple little word. Add. Add what? I like to go over to Peter. 2 Peter, here lately I've gotten in trouble trying to quote things, so I'm going to turn to it and read it. 2 Peter chapter 1 starts off. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as He had divine power hath given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's that thing about add. Add what? Add to your faith. We've already talked about trusting in the Lord, putting our trust in Him. And we have to have faith to be able to put our trust in Him, right? Well, once we have that faith, once the Lord has touched and tendered our heart and blessed us to have that faith, we need to add to it. That's the reason about studying His Word. We need to add to our brain, add to our knowledge. Let's add to our faith. Peter writes and it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Having that courage, that virtue. And adding that courage, add to virtue, knowledge. Well, we need to increase our knowledge with studying His Word, putting our trust in Him, adding to our faith that virtue and knowledge. And knowledge, temperance. Who needs more temperance, right? I do. Y'all are probably doing a lot better job than I am. We need the temperance. Why is temperance important? Well, if we're studying God's Word, that'll come very apparent very soon. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience. We need patience in this life, especially if we're going to stand against the evil days. We need to learn patience. Having that inner peace. Remember where that peace comes from. Trusting in the Lord. So we can add patience. And patience, godliness. Remember what Paul wrote about godliness. Godliness is profitable to all things. So if we're adding to our faith, that faith that the Lord grants us to have, remember what the Lord would talk about having that faith as a mustard seed? Yeah, it's a little tiny seed, but it can grow to a very, very big tree. It's the biggest of the herbs. Adding to your faith. Do we have room for improvement on adding to our faith? I do. Sometimes my faith, I feel like the apostles when they were in the ship. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. The storm was raging, yeah. But he didn't have a problem with it. It wasn't bothering him. Sometimes we look at problems in our life. Sometimes we see storms arise in our life. And we hadn't been studying enough. We're not trusting enough. And we're not adding to our faith enough. And sometimes things like that can rock our very soul. Sometimes things can come out of the woodwork. Sometimes things can just come out of left field. That's why Paul would write about arming ourselves with the armor of God. Being prepared. And if we're adding to our faith, that virtue, having that courage and everything, and that knowledge, knowledge of God's word, knowledge of his wisdom that's in this book, and that temperance and patience. Brothers and sisters, we can learn these and use these in our day-to-day life. How much of a benefit would it be to us? This word is a great benefit. But if we're not honing these skills, if we're not trying to learn this and add these things to our faith, studying his word, trusting in him, then we may find ourselves turning away from the battle. You know, that's the thing about the armor of God. It's all for the front. Because we're supposed to be facing the battle. We've been talking about standing, right? You know, like that military command, stand fast. What does that stand fast mean? It means hold your position and wait command. Hold the position and wait for command. Brothers and sisters, we have the commandments in his book. We have the commandments in his word. Now, if we're going to stand, we need to be doing these steps. Next one I have, you know, we need to be adding to our faith. I keep trying to run off to, I guess, adding to our faith all in godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. How important is charity? That love in action? Oh, that's one of the great commandments. Showing love one to another. And it is to another, right? Not just for another. It's to another. That's the thing about love in action, putting it to practice, adding to our faith charity. And he says in verse 8, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Why is it important to study his word? Why is it important to put our trust in him? Why is it important for us to add to our faith? So we can know him. So we can know him better. I'm not saying it'll make your life a bed of roses. But we'll have more of that inner peace. That will keep him in perfect peace. O Lord, whose mind is stayed on thee. Best way to stay our mind on him is to study his word. Best way to find that perfect peace is to have our mind stayed on him because we trust in him. And because we trust in him that he's got this. He knows what he's doing. I don't. He knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's telling me to do. So I need to add to my faith. Because if we have these things be in us and abound, don't skip over that one too quick, and abound, because we're not supposed to be growing more and more, we'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So add to our faith. The next one is in, for know, as in N-O. Brethren, if we're going to stand against the evil days, sometimes we have to say no.
That's right.
I remember in, early 90s, that was the big thing about just say no to drugs, Well, just say no to evil. Sometimes we have that ability. We can just say no, right? Not everything's thrust upon us and we're helpless. Sometimes we can say no to certain things, especially temptation. Sometimes you just have to say no. Over in Psalm 1, the very first psalm. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you hear some ungodly counsel, somebody's trying to counsel you ungodly, just say no.
Amen.
No, I don't want to hear that. Stop yours if you have to. It says, "Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." See, that's a progression of things. If we're walking by the way and we hear something, maybe it entices our ears. Maybe in our former life or whatever, before the Lord really worked and tendered our heart, maybe we enjoyed something like that. Maybe that was an enticement to us. We hear something. You better keep walking. Because if we stop, then that's the wrong kind of standing. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Because if you stop to listen to more, you're standing to hear more of that ungodly counsel. And the next thing you know, you're sitting down. In the Old Testament, we had the men of the gate, men of the city, they would sit at the gate. And that was the sitting of agreement. They were all in agreement with one another. If we're sitting in the seat of the scornful, we have fallen into that progression. So the best thing to do is when we hear ungodly counsel, or if we see something ungodly, just say no. Walk on by. Keep going. Wasn't that what Joseph did? Joseph. When Potiphar's wife was enticing him and trying to get him to do something that, and he would say, why should I do this and sin against God? Yes, it would have been a sin against Potiphar, but Joseph hit right to the point. It would be a sin against God. And it got so bad that Joseph had to get him out, remember? The scriptures say he got him out. Sometimes you just have to say no. Sometimes you may have to drop and leave. That's the thing. When temptations come. Was it Charles Spurgeon, one that says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head? But you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. Same thing about temptations. We may see something. You may see something pop up on the TV screen or something pop up on the computer screen or whatever. We can't always stop it. But you can turn it off. You can close your eyes. You can do something. We don't have to stop and do the wrong kind of standing, right? No, we're talking about standing against the evil day. So be like Joseph. Just say no. And if you have to, leave. What about Daniel? Remember Daniel? Purposed in his heart. He wouldn't defile himself. Wouldn't sin against God. What about the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ordered and commanded, and when they heard the music, to bow down at his golden image. Now, the scriptures doesn't say they said no, but their actions speak louder than words, right? Sometimes we just have to say no. walk on by. And especially if we're going to stand against the evil day, we're going to have to say no. And especially if we're going to try to hold the line. There's some things that we're going to have to say no to. Some things our children may say, hey, everybody else is doing it. You know, you ever heard that old phrase, well, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you do it? Now, there's going to be that one smart alecky kid who's like, what if the bridge is on fire? All right, that's a kid getting a whooping. But anyway, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You need to stop and think. If I've been studying my word, if I'm putting my trust in God, if I'm adding to my faith and I'm saying no to the evil, I need to stop and think, is this according to thus saith the Lord? Does this go against the word of God, or is it going in accordance to the word of God? But we won't know that if we're not studying, if we're not trusting in Him, and if we're not adding to our faith and growing in our knowledge of Him. And we never will grow further or grow more if we don't learn to say no. Last one is diligence. Diligence. Don't we need to be diligent in our service to God? Don't we need to be diligent? I mean, what happens if you weren't diligent at your work? What happens if you weren't diligent as being a parent? What happens if you weren't diligent while you were driving? Bad things could happen. Things could happen pretty quick too. So if we're not diligent in our service to Him, things can start going awry very fast. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. There's a purpose behind it. Don't you want somebody that if you had somebody that you're working on your vehicle or working on some appliance at your house, don't you want them to diligently do their job? Yes. I mean, especially if we're paying money. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to find somebody like that nowadays. But you want them to diligently work. Want them to do their job diligently. Putting a purpose behind it. It's a meaningful thing. And especially in our service to Him. Our service to our great King. Isn't it a privilege to serve the great and almighty God? The one who came and gave His only begotten Son for us. Don't you know that's a privilege just to know Him? And because we know Him, we need to be studying His truth. We need to be trusting in Him, knowing that He's got this. I don't. We need to be adding to our faith so I can grow in the knowledge of Him. Saying no to the evil that's around. And diligent, if we're using our diligence, if we're diligently doing these steps, diligently studying His word, reading His word on a daily basis, making that a habit that we have. You know, some people have some habits, some are good, some are bad. This is not a bad habit to have. I wish this was the easiest habit to form. But it takes work. Service to God doesn't come naturally. It takes work. It takes effort. That's why we need diligence. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And talking about the children and being parents, and especially teachers or whatever, it's, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, now, these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. We need to be taught. We need to learn. We're growing all the time, learning, studying. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's son in the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear there, O Israel, and observe to do it. It may be well with thee, and that they may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God and thy fathers had promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Well, if they're not going to be in our heart if we don't do this next one. Verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. There's a purpose behind it. It's needful. We need this. Our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. Everybody needs this. But especially the younger ones. They need to know how important this is. They need to know where real strength comes from. They need to know how much is in the Word of God. And it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Always have it a conversation. Always let it be known. Always let the children know that mom and daddy think this seriously. Because we're diligently teaching. We're diligently serving God. So if we're diligently studying the truth, I can diligently teach them of the truth. If I'm diligently trusting in God, I can by my actions show and be an example to them to know where they need to put their trust. If I'm diligently adding to my faith, I can teach them and show them that they need to be adding too, because they can grow. I know they're going to grow naturally. I know they're going to grow up. But they need to be growing in the knowledge of God. And if I'm diligently saying no to the bad things that are around me, again, by example, I'm diligently teaching them the things to stay away from. Diligently saying no. And my diligence needs more diligence. I need more work. I need to do better. Because my diligence is not as good as the Lord's diligence. There's always room for improvement. There's always something I can do better. So I need to study the truth, trust in the Lord, add to my faith, say no when evil comes around. And diligently teach, diligently seek, diligently worship my Heavenly Father. He's done so much for me, continues to do so much for me. I owe Him everything. We owe Him everything.
Amen.
So why not use this? You know, this is just something to come up with, but you know, helpfully, maybe it'll help so we can learn to stand. If we're going to stand against the evil days, against the perilous times that are in these last days, we need to stand. And especially us parents, we need to stand. We need to stand and show our children why we stand and what we're standing on. If we're standing on the promises and the good foundation of God, we're in good shape. If where we go, Ephesians chapter 6, where we started this evening, we arm ourselves with the armor of God each and every day, we're in good shape because we're relying on His strength. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Brethren, if we're going to stand, that's the only way we can stand. is in the power of His might. So hopefully this little acronym, STAND, hopefully this has been a little helpful. I like it. Study the truths. Trust in Him. Adding faith. Sometimes you just have to say no. And always remember to be diligent in our service to the Lord. May the Lord bless you.